Let's talk more about your years at San Diego State, because you came here, if I understand, in 1969.
That's right.
And the context that you were within in the United States at that time, of course, is reflected by the university. And I'd like you to talk about what you found when you came here.
Well, I will say, as you well know, that Lloyd and Ilse Ruocco, I couldn't have asked for two better people to review my portfolio in 1967 when I was here working on the hangar, PSA hangar at Lindbergh Field. And I brought my portfolio out here. Lloyd and Ilse invited me to their house and reviewed it. And I'm happy to say they liked what they saw. And indeed, it led to me being hired. But in 1967, I had no degree. And the department wanted to hire me, but they said that I would need to get a degree. So I went back to Tulane. The Professor Lawrence at Tulane, head of the architectural school, hired me to teach there and gave me the opportunity to get my master's at the same time. I was delighted. Then I came back to teach at San Diego State, which is rather astounding that they held my position for 2 years. This is unheard of, while I went off to get my master's degree. So I come back. Now, I don't know, maybe some of my colleagues thought that I was given too much opportunity. I don't know if you can say there was a little jealousy there, that I was brought in, you know, to be given the opportunity to actually design the entire curriculum, which I did for this new environmental design program. And the local architects honored me with a dinner in La Jolla at the La Valencia Hotel, up on the roof, a very expensive dining room.
Yes.
Some powerful architects, and they wanted me to modify or copy my curriculum and program after San Luis Obispo, which is a kind of nuts and bolts architectural school. I had a different vision. I wanted to design, I wanted to encourage leadership amongst our students. Mm-hmm. I wanted to turn out designers, even visionaries, where art was important. So instead of turning out just draftsmen to populate the back rooms of plan factories, I was trying to encourage leadership and vision. So there was a, and I brought in Archigram, the Peter Cook and colleagues from London to lecture. Now, at that time, Archigram was a very radical group. I'm very pleased to tell you, Susan, that just recently, Archigram was honored by the Queen of England. They were all knighted.
How lovely.
But at the time they lectured for me, they were some very radical young men. They had, though, some profound ideas, and that's why I invited them. They were not your regular architectural type that the local architects were trying to get me to encourage and promote here in our program. And then I brought Bruce Goff in, also a very radical designer. Frank Lloyd Wright was dead, so I couldn't bring him in, but I did bring in a lot of really exciting, advanced thinkers. Now, behind the scenes, I didn't know this was going on. It got so heated in the local architectural offices that I wasn't turning out draftsmen, that, as I have learned, they went over my head and around me to administration to try to pressure me to follow their desires. I won't mention names, but to make a long story short, one day I was encouraging architecture was affordable. And I'll tell you an interesting story. Two deans called me in. It reached this climax. Two deans called me into their office. Professor Ray, we get a report that you are teaching, I think they actually used the word communism.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and I was very lucky, you know, that
that was the that, time.
That week, Time magazine had published a issue with about affordable housing in the United States. Less than 1% of the people, at that time it was less than 2%. When I left, it was less than 1%, can afford to build a house in this country. Mm-hmm. So I had this Time magazine with me. I said, look, to these two deans, I say, what kind of a country is this that a people, the average person can't afford to build their own house? Mm-hmm. I say, that's what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not a communist. I said, I had three great-grandfathers who were multimillionaires.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know anything about communism. I'm just trying to teach ways to build more affordable housing. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the last I ever heard of that problem.
Well, you handled it well.
I'm very lucky. Now, I do know that some of this did kind of spread into the faculty, too. And when it came time for me to be promoted, believe me, I had to work at it. Mm-hmm. But I did. Mm-hmm. And I was promoted to from assistant professor to associate professor, and then it came up for full professor. I mean, I had already gone through tenure and all that, and there was some shenanigans going on, even though I was voted first in my department for promotion. I received a notification that I wasn't going to be promoted. And I wrote a letter of complaint. And fortunately, some people came to my support. And also, that's about the time I was honored in Europe.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And they couldn't argue with that.
Yeah.
Because that was rare for anybody in this faculty, certainly in the art department. There'd been no one honored in Europe with lectures, exhibitions, and publications. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't easy, but I made it.
You did.